This study kind of shook me a little bit. Even though you and I have been talking about this for years, we're beginning to see this now in black and white. It's very serious, isn't it?
It is very serious, and it's becoming more and more of a mainstream issue among medical professionals, if not the North American media. I think the most surprising aspect of this study to start with is that the scientists involved were surprised to find impacts on the brain from cell phone use. It seems to be not rocket science to understand that since we are electrochemical beings, our brains are moderated by electrochemical impulses and interactions, that any device which puts out pulsed electromagnetic radiation held next to the brain has to have an impact. Yet the scientists were surprised, and to give them their due, I think the significance here, George, is one, this was a JAMA study, Journal of American Medical Association. They're very, very careful in what they say and what they publish. And secondly, that heating was not involved with the changes they found in the brains exposed to cell phone radiation.
Well, remember the phones that we had attached to our cars? I mean, they were just phones that were hooked in there. And they were, of course, cell. Would those, in the early days of cell phones, would they cause problems too, you think?
The early ones that I was familiar with actually had the transmitter in the trunk of the car.
That's
they were
right.
So
That's
big.
Right.
They were so big you had to carry them. And so with the antenna on the back part of the roof or maybe even the trunk, certainly there is exposure, but it would be much less than the exposure many people are experiencing today with cell phones used inside, George, inside that steel structure, which acts like a Faraday cage and actually traps that signal so that your cell phone has to work much harder, that is, put out full power to get outside of that car. Meanwhile, of course, irradiating everyone in that car, often, I'm afraid, children.
This is what I've been doing since you and I have been talking about this, of course, in while driving, hands-free. I use that little speaker, but I'm not so sure I should use that. I think the last time we talked, you said those things emit the problems too.
George, they put out about 10 times the power level to use the speaker at proper volume, again, inside that cage.
Oh, boy.
And or to boost that signal up the wire to your hands-free headset. The other major problem, and I must say that in researching this story today and catching up with the latest on this subject, I am once again disappointed, if not appalled, by the so-called experts in this field recommending that people use wired headsets to keep the phone away from their body and quote, lessen their exposure, when in fact, we know, and it's well documented in many studies, that the wire in your headset acts like an antenna. And depending on how it is draped, particularly if it hangs straight down, which it usually does, that wire not only conducts electromagnetic radiation from your phone directly into your ear canal, it picks up all the ambient electromagnetics in the immediate vicinity, say in a busy city, and conducts that as an antenna also into your ear. The net result, George, is we're looking at a 300% plus increase in radiation among hands-free sets in many instances. And of course, one more quick thing, please, please, pregnant women, do not drape a headset wire over your belly, over your womb.
Now, this is what they said in the study. These signals disrupt DNA, impair brain function. I want to talk with you about both of those things. Mm. And also lowers your reproductive ability. If guys, for example, primarily are keeping their phones in their pockets, mm-hmm. you know, right on the pockets in the front, right on the old thighs, that's going to be a problem too, isn't it?
Men and women both, particularly men, we have seen studies coming out, since 2004, if not earlier, That's quite a span of time. Repeat studies showing that men who have their cell phone on standby, that's important. The phone is on standby, so it's handshaking with the nearest cell phone tower every minute or so. So if you carry that on your waist, man or woman on standby, your reproductive organs are becoming exposed to radiation. And this is radiation with an R. We're all concerned with Fukushima, what's happening in Japan, and we should be. But radiation is radiation. And the damaged cellular proteins, the micronuclei that are used to determine damage from nuclear radiation exposure, George, are the same markers used for cell phone, portable phone, and wireless exposure radiation. So once again, for men, you're looking at about a third less sperm count if you carry your phone turned on your waist. And most of your remaining sperm will be incapable of fertilization. Now, no one's recommending this as birth control, obviously, because what we could be seeing also, now this is for women as well as men, is damaged embryos exposed in the womb and beforehand from cell phone radiation.
I'm beginning to wonder, Will, if the cell phones are responsible for the declining bee population.
Well, there's many who think so. I think it's a bit more complex than that. There are some definite chemical pesticide markers involved. There are some experiments out of Europe showing that a simple cell phone placed near a hive will cause bees to vacate or avoid that hive and the queen inside. We have no question that microwave radiation can affect the behavior of bees who depend on the vibration of their wings. They actually dance the direction and distance to the nearest food source for other members of the hive. And cell phone radiation, cell tower radiation in particular, can mess up the signals and obscure this dance. And bees either abandon their nests or starve. So their cell phone radiation heavily implicated. And I would add pesticides as well. There is a synergistic effect between electromagnetic radiation and chemical toxicity, chemical contamination.
Let me ask you about the earpiece that has like a hollow tube. It wraps around the ear, but it doesn't really feed directly into the ear.
Yes.
Are those better?
Those are better. The so-called air tube does not conduct electromagnetic energy like a wire does. And if that air tube has a piece of ferrite installed, it can block those stray signals and also serve to ameliorate the antenna aspect. The problem, once again, George, and once again, experts are saying, you know, use the speaker, use the air tube. In other words, keep using these devices. The problem is that when we come up with fixes, whether or not they work, and most of them don't, whether or not they work, every time this is announced, people feel better and they use more and more of these devices.